Appreciate Pastor Andrew and the worship team that leads us every week. They do a phenomenal job, and we praise God for them. Amen. All right. Well, it's an honor to be here with you this morning, to be able to hang out with you, study God's Word together. And as our pastor is out, I'm honored that he would allow me to come and just bring God's Word to you this morning. As we sang these songs, obviously this last song, that God is stronger. He has saved us. Just, we sing words like that. You know, one of the reasons and one of the ways that we are motivated to worship is because, or is if we realize that is true. And it gives us a reason to not just sing words, but to really worship God. And as we were singing in that first set, we were singing White Flag. I raise the white flag. If you don't know, that is the universal symbol of surrender. And he says, you know, we surrender all to you. I love that because you know, a lot of times, you know, if you're like me, we like to make commitments to God, don't we? But one of the things that I heard recently, and this really stuck with me, is that, you know, when you commit to something, you're in control. But if someone comes and puts a gun to your head and you put your hands up, you're surrendered, right? And my prayer is that this morning as we leave this place, that we wouldn't just be committed to God, although I hope you're committed to God, but I hope even more than that, we are surrendered unto God and to seek His will for our lives and our church. This morning, I want to be in two different passages, as you see on the screen, Luke 5 and John 5. So I want to go ahead and ask you to open your Bibles up to John 5 and mark that place, or just save that spot, load that up. That's where we will land the plane here this morning. That's not where we are taking off from, but that will be our destination. I will tell you that the majority of what we talk about this morning will be out of Luke 5. So when we're in Luke 5 for a while and you're like, oh, he's still got to get to John 5, just know we will sort of fly through John 5 because the majority of what we need to see is in Luke 5. Well, we will do a little bit of a comparison of the text. So just make sure John 5, starting in verse 1, that's ready. Flip over, and we're going to be in Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 15. And what has happened here in Luke 5 is that Jesus has just healed a man with a skin disease, a man with leprosy. And we pick up in verse 15, and we see this. It says, but the news about him, talking about Jesus, spread even more, and the large crowds would come together to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. Yet he withdrew to deserted places and prayed. Verse 17, on one of those days while he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea, also from Jerusalem. And the Lord's power to heal them was in him. Just then, some men came carrying on a mat a man who was paralyzed. They tried to bring him in and set him down before Jesus. Since they could not find a way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on a mat through the roof tiles into the middle of the crowd before Jesus. Seeing their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven of you. Then the scribes and Pharisees began to think, who is this man who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Perceiving their thoughts, Jesus replied to them, why are you thinking this in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But so you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he told the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, pick up your mat, and go home. And immediately, the paralyzed man got up before them, picked up what he had been lying on, and went home glorifying God. Y'all listen to this. Everyone was astounded, and they were giving glory to God, and they were filled with awe and said, we have seen incredible things today. Let's pray. God, I pray that this morning as we look into your word, Father, that we would not speak into it, but that it would speak into us. God, Father, I just pray that you would teach us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning I want to talk to you, and the title of the sermon is A Church That Impacts. And what does that mean to be a church that impacts? What does it mean to be a church that makes an impact on our culture for Jesus. And one of the first thing I came to as I was praying for this, or one of the things I came to just this week as I was looking through this some more, is that a church of impact is a church of action. We're going to see that a church of impact is a church of action. If we want to have a Jesus impact on our culture, we don't have a Jesus impact on Olive Branch or a Jesus impact on our family, we have to be a church and a people of action. It's one thing to sing about telling people about Jesus. It's one thing to sing about the fact that he has saved us and you are stronger, you know, to pray that in our songs. Praise God for that. I think that's awesome. We ought to do that. But it's one thing to do that in here, and it's another thing to put that in action out there. We have to be a church and a people of action. Figure out where the rubber meets the road and what it means to reach people for Jesus. See, the first thing that we have, and this is in your notes if you're keeping up with that, a church that impacts is filled with people that have concern for the lost and hurting. A church of impact or a church of action is filled with people that have concern for the lost and hurting. Look at verse 15 where we started. The people were hearing about Jesus. News had spread about Jesus. He could heal. This is the Messiah. He has come. He is healing people physically, and he is healing people spiritually. And they knew that they had to get their friend, these men that brought the paralyzed guy on the mat. At some point, they realized, we've got to get this guy to Jesus because Jesus can heal him. And then in verse 18, what happens? They show up. They're taking him to Jesus. Why? Because they had a genuine concern. They were concerned about this man who was spiritually lost and spiritually hurting, and wanted to get him to Jesus. These men that they knew that they needed to do whatever it took to bring a lost and hurting person to Jesus. Church, I want to ask you something. Are you concerned about the lost and the hurting? Are you genuinely concerned? I bet you if I went down every pew and just said, give me an amen if you're concerned about the lost and amen, amen, amen. I bet you we'd have amens. I could get everybody to say amen at one time. You would all say amen. We agree with that. That sounds good to me. But here's the thing. Do you care enough to take action? Do you care enough to take action? I'm so thankful for people that were concerned about the lost and hurting. I've shared with you before about how I got saved and how I found a gospel track on the ground when I was working at Walmart. But see, as I think about that, I realize that somebody who I will never know, somebody was concerned about the lost. Somebody was concerned enough about the lost that they said, I'm going to buy some gospel tracks and I'm going to give them out. I don't know if that person gave that gospel track to somebody intending for that person to come to cross, and maybe that person threw it on the ground because they weren't interested. I don't know if that person bought that gospel track and maybe before they could even give it to somebody, it fell out of their car, out of their pocket, and they never knew it. I don't know if it was given to somebody and they held on to it for a while. I don't know how it came to me, but I want to tell you something. It got to me. God used that to get my attention, but it started with people who were concerned about the lost. Friends, we got to be concerned about the lost. If we want to make a Jesus impact, I mean, students, listen, it's not enough to say, I want my friends to come to Jesus. I want my friends to come to Jesus. You really want your friends to come to Jesus, it's time to take action. It's time to get real. It's time to start finding ways to connect people with the love and power of God. See, the Bible says in Psalm 147, that God heals the broken heart and he binds up their wounds. On any given day on this campus, people walk in here, whether they're saved or they're lost, because saved people can hurt too, by the way. People walk in here and they're hurting and they're struggling. Every day in your life, I guarantee you, whether it's at work at your job or the halls of your school, you pass by people every day who are hurting. And they need to know that there is a God who wants to heal their broken heart, who wants to bind up their wounds, who wants to walk with them through these difficult days. They might be struggling because they've lost a job. They might be struggling because they're dealing with the death of a loved one. Maybe it's a student that feels betrayed by a friend, or they've gotten broken up with. Whatever that might be, there are people all around us that are hurting, and they need to hear about a God that will heal their wounds and bind up their hearts, that will love them and walk with them through this. Every day on this campus, a church this big, I dare to say that there are people that walk into this room on any given week who really are not sure about where they're going to spend eternity. But I know this, there's people everywhere where you go. When you go to the grocery store, when you go to your job, when you go to your schools, when you go to Chick-fil-A, God bless the Christian chicken, I love them. But there are lost people there, and they're not sure. A lot of them are not sure. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4 that there is only one name given unto men by which we must be saved. It's one thing. Listen, there's a popular thing in our culture. You know, we have such a plurality of ideas and religions, and a lot of people grow up, they hear about Muhammad, and they hear about Jesus, and they hear about these different forms of Buddha, and they hear about Confucius, or sometimes they even hear about science, or they hear about all these other things. Maybe they decide there is no God. I want to tell you something, friends. There's a lot of confusion in our culture, and a lot of the people that may believe in God kind of think, well, you know, the Muslims believe in Muhammad, and you know they'll make it. You know they'll get to heaven through Muhammad, and the Christians, you know, Jesus. No. The Bible teaches us that there is only one name by which we can be saved. Church, if you believe that, then we need to be telling that and teaching that, spreading that good news. Because if we're not going to tell people, then who else is going to? You know, David Platt, when he was here a year ago, said, "Good news is only good news if it's not too late. Good news is only good news if it's not too late." We got to be a people that is concerned about the lost. I believe that every Christian is an everyday minister and an everyday missionary. I believe that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are an ambassador of God. Christo apostolized, what Paul says. You are an ambassador of Christ. Now, I'm an ambassador of Christ, not because God's called me to ministry, not because I'm up here preaching, simply because I am a believer. You are just as much of an ambassador for Christ as I am. Everyone, every Christian is an everyday minister and everyday missionary. Concern for the lost and hurting. How many of you guys seen Forrest Gump? Y'all seen Forrest Gump? Y'all remember that? Okay. First of all, just a little word of caution. I'm not saying that you should go watch Forrest Gump. Okay. There are some things, if you're mom or dad, you need to probably watch, and you decide if you want your kids to see that or not. But there is a particular scene that I think of when I think about this idea of being concerned for the lost. This scene where they're in Vietnam, and Forrest is in the armies in Vietnam, and they suddenly get attacked by the enemy, and they're pinned down, and Lieutenant Dan tells them to fall back and retreat, and you know Forrest, what's he supposed to do when he gets in trouble? He's supposed to run, Forrest, run. So he runs, he outruns everybody, and he runs to safety. He gets to the beachhead, he gets out of the jungle, nobody's shooting at him anymore, but he looks around, and he realizes that he's alone. And not only is he alone, but his best friend, Bubba, is still back in the jungle. So he goes back into the jungle, and one by one, he starts seeing people that are injured and hurt. One by one, he starts carrying them out of the jungle. He even gets mean old Lieutenant Dan over his shoulder and drags him out of the jungle. And Lieutenant Dan, you probably need to watch the edited version of that, okay, because he's not happy. He's a mean dude at that point, okay? But he even takes a bullet in the backside. That's when he says, "Something bit me," you know? That part, right? But what does he do? You know, a lot of people have said, "Oh boy, I just took a round in the hind end. I think I'm gonna lay down here and just let everybody else figure it out." No, he puts Lieutenant Dan down and he goes back, and they're saying, "You can't go back in the jungle. You can't. You're stupid. You'll be killed." And what does he do? He says, "I got to find Bubba." Why? Because he was concerned. Friends, I want to tell you, it's a jungle out there if you want to reach people for Jesus. The enemy is firing at you. Some of you are terrified to share the gospel. Some of you are terrified just because you've never done it. You don't know what to say. Some of you maybe have tried it once or twice and you maybe hit some opposition. Maybe some angry person came at you in a way that made you feel stupid, or maybe they accuse you of being a bigot or ignorant or unlearned because you believe in the Bible, and that discouraged you. Maybe you invited somebody to church a couple times and they keep telling you no, and you just say, I don't know what I'm going to do. It is a jungle out there, but if we're concerned enough, we're going to go after those people. We're going to continue to go after them. Look at verse 19. Still in Luke 5. Verse 19. So they, since they could not find a way to bring him in because of the crowd. See, the man on the mat, the friends, they put him on the mat and they said, we got to get this guy to Jesus. He was concerned because he was lost and hurting. We got to get this guy to Jesus. But they got there and there were too many people in the house. And I don't know about you, but I don't like standing long lines. I don't like if I know there's traffic. I'm the guy, if I'm at the football game, this drives my wife crazy. When we go to the football game, I'm the guy that leaves with like 10, 15, 20 minutes left in the fourth quarter because I want to beat the traffic. Okay? That's just me. So, but the game's on. We'll listen to it on the radio. I ain't going to get stuck in this traffic. Let's go. Right? That's just me. So, you know, when these guys, they brought their friend in hoping to get him an audience with Jesus so that he could experience the power and love of Christ, and suddenly they couldn't get in. But instead, they went up and they crawled up on the roof, didn't they? You see, they had this attitude that we've got to get him to Jesus. What is it going to take? A lot of people would have got to that house and they would have turned around and went on back. Sorry, buddy. We tried, man. Jesus was just too busy today. Better luck next time. No. They're like, we have got to get him to Jesus. How can we get him to Jesus? What do we got to do? Let's look around. Let's figure this out. Let's think about it. Oh, I know what we can do. Let's crawl up on the roof. Crawl up on the roof. I mean, we're going to have to crawl. And we're going to have to pick him up. I'm going to have to crawl up there. Then we're going to have to hoist him up, dig a hole in the roof. Now, that's just a little too much work. But that did not stop them. Why? Because a church of impact is a church that is filled with people who are committed to going the extra mile. A church of impact is a church that is filled with people who are committed to going the extra mile. You're concerned for the lost and the hurting, but you understand that there will be obstacles when you want to reach people. Sometimes people don't want to be reached. Sometimes people are just hard to get to. Sometimes there's a barrier between connecting them with Jesus. But honestly, friends, the question really is not will there be obstacles. The question is really how much do we really care? How much do we really care? Do we care enough to be burdened a little bit? Do we care enough to be inconvenienced? Do we care enough to take time to pray for somebody? Do we care enough to learn how to share the gospel? Do we care enough to ask questions? Do we care enough that whenever somebody says something to us and throws something at us that we don't know, that instead of crawling under a rock and going away forever, that we go ask some questions and see if we can figure out how to approach them and try to help them as best we can? Do you care enough? Listen, I'm so thankful for people that cared enough to go the extra mile. I shared with you about the gospel track, but before that happened, see, that was when I was a senior in high school. I started going to a Baptist church regularly whenever I was a junior in high school, and I made some friends there. Now, I wasn't really going there for Jesus. I was going there to meet girls. I met a girl, and I made friends with a bunch of people. One girl that I had made friends with, she had a deep concern for me and for my salvation. See, people would ask me about if I was a believer, and I knew enough to tell them that I was saved, and I knew enough to say, well, I got saved. I went forward at church and prayed one Sunday. I heard somebody say that like a while ago that went to a Baptist church. I had no idea what it meant. I had no idea what they would have prayed. I had no idea why they would have went forward. I just know that they did it, and if I said that, they'd leave me alone. But people kept going the extra mile because they knew. They knew that I wasn't really a believer. And so one of the conversations I had with this girl, her name was Allison, and she said, do you know any Bible verses? Now, I only knew one Bible verse. It wasn't John 3:16. It wasn't Philippians 4:13. No, I had never heard those verses before. It wasn't any of the Roman road. I didn't know any of that. You know what it was? It was Revelation 13, 18. Does anybody know what that says? Revelation 13, 18 says the number of the beast is 600, 666. And when I said that to her, she completely like flipped out. She's like, okay, yeah, that's a good verse. Okay, well, we'll talk to you later. And so she started calling friends. And she started calling friends, and she was like, we got to pray for Jason. And so they prayed. You think I'm kidding? They did. I laughed about this later, too. But they prayed. And you know what else they did? So they didn't have all the technology they have now. They had hotlines. 1-800, like, pray for you hotline. And they called a 1-800 prayer hotline. I don't know what ministry. I don't know who was praying. But they asked people to pray for me. And I want to tell you something. I think that God heard those prayers. Because it wasn't long after that that I randomly came across a gospel track that got my attention in a way that nobody else had been able to do for years up until that point. I want to tell you something. They were willing to go the extra mile. I think maybe they understood a principle that's in 1 Timothy 2 that where Paul tells Timothy to have prayer and petitions and intercessions and make thanksgiving for everyone. And he goes on to say that that's good. It pleases God, who wants everyone to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. Everyone. See, they understood that. They were willing to go the extra mile. They put up with me. They were willing to go the extra mile. What are you willing to do? How far are you willing to go to connect people with the gospel of Jesus? Is it worth it? One of the things I want you to draw your attention to is verse 20. It says, when Jesus saw their faith. So the men, they hoisted this paralyzed guy up. They got him up on the roof. They were not going to go away. They were concerned. They were willing to go the extra mile, whatever it takes to bring my friend to Jesus. That's what I'm going to do. And so they do that, and they lower the guy down right in the middle of the room where Jesus is standing and preaching. It says, when Jesus saw their faith. I want you to notice that it's plural where it says that. He saw their faith. I think, number one, Jesus saw and was blessed by the faith of the friends who brought the paralyzed guy in. I think that he was blessed by that, because that is really what we are supposed to be as believers and as a church. But as you know, and as the Bible teaches, see, somebody else's faith won't save you. And I believe that whenever that man, the paralyzed man, was lowered down in front of Jesus, that he understood and knew right there, not only could Jesus heal him physically, but Jesus would heal him spiritually. And Jesus saw his faith, and he says, friend, your sins are forgiven. And then he gets up, and he picks up that mat, and he goes home. People, everybody saw that. Listen, if we are a church of impact, a church of action, we are going to see, number three, lives that are changed. We're going to see lives that are changed. People are going to be changed. When we have that kind of mindset, we're not going to reach everybody. We're going to hit a wall. We're going to hit a lot of walls. But eventually, we will see lives impact, and we will see people changed. This man's life was tremendously impacted. Listen, you impacted, you don't, I think sometimes we read all these stories about people being healed in the Bible, and we just say, oh, there's another guy that's healed. Boy, you know, Jesus was pretty awesome, and he was awesome. He is awesome, okay? But realize this man was paralyzed. He could not work. He probably did not have a family. He probably was not able to have a family because of being paralyzed. There was a whole new world that was opened up to him when Jesus healed him physically. But even more so, a whole new world of eternity and a relationship with God opened to him up when Jesus healed him spiritually. Lives will be changed. Let me tell you something, friends. The gospel is contagious. When you're excited about Jesus, it's contagious. People notice it. When lives are changed, here's the number four thing. When lives are changed, the community is going to be impacted. A church of action, a church of impact is going to impact the community. Okay? It's not just going to talk about it. It's going to happen. Because when Jesus heals and when Jesus saves somebody, and man, that is contagious. If you've ever been around somebody, especially like someone, maybe like a student or a young adult, I mean, if you've ever been around somebody like that that has just been saved and they're on fire for the Lord, it is contagious, friends. And when we're a church of action, a church of impact, we're going to see those lives change. And we're going to see the community around us impacted. Verse 25 and 26 says that the people that saw this man being healed, it says they were in awe. They were in awe, community in awe. They were in awe of what God had done. It says that they said, we have seen something today that is spectacular. We have seen something today that is spectacular. Listen, one of the reasons why a lot of people have a hard time believing in God, or they're not really sure about God, is because they're around too many people who say they're Christians that don't really care about the lost. And they're not really concerned about the suffering. And they're not really reflecting the true love of Christ in their everyday life as an everyday missionary. So I told you we would end in John 5, so flip over there and we're gonna fly through this. I just want to read it, and then we're gonna land this plane, okay? John 5, starting in verse 1. It says that a Jewish festival took place, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. By the Sheep Gate in Jerusalem, there is a pool called Bethesda in Hebrew, which has 5 colonnades. Within these lay a large number of the sick, which are the blind, lame, and paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. Because an angel would come down into the pool from time to time and stir up the water. Then the first one who got into the water after it was stirred up recovered from whatever ailment he had had. One man was there who had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him living there and knew he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the sick man answered, "I don't have a man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred. But while I'm coming, someone goes down ahead of me." "Get up," Jesus said, "pick up your mat and walk." And instantly the man got up, picked up his mat, and started to walk. It goes on to say on down that he began to tell others that Jesus was the one that had healed him. So remember, we talked about a church of impact as a church of action, okay? And the church of action, the church of impact are going to be filled with people who are concerned about the lost and the hurting. In this passage, in John 5, now apart from Jesus walking by in person, we got to take that out of the equation. If Jesus would not have walked by, what we see? We see no concern for the lost. We see no concern for the hurting. In fact, instead of a church of apathy, of action, we see people of apathy. We see people that just don't care. No one really ever was there to pick this guy up and take him down to healing for 38 years. Friends, I think I'm 38 years old. I stopped really counting. I'm pretty sure I'm 38. Is that right? I was born in 77. Somebody do the math, okay? Pretty close, all right? So 38 years old. Well, November. Yeah. Ah, see. I should have told you that. Thank you. Confirmed. All right. So, but 38 years old. For basically my whole life, this guy had been waiting for someone to stop, for somebody to pay attention to him, for somebody to say, "Hey, can I help you down? Can I help you get? Can I help you be connected to the power of God in this healing pool?" For whatever reason, that God is stirring the waters, he's doing it. "Can I help you?" But he'd been ignored because there was no concern for the lost and the hurting. And because of that, obviously, there was no commitment to go the extra mile. In fact, instead of commitment to go the extra mile, we see that people were more committed to their own comfort and their own well-being. They were a lot more committed to that than they were the lost and the hurting. Because of that, change was delayed. 38 years he waited. If Jesus had not walked by when he did, I wonder how much longer he would have waited, or if he would have ever experienced healing at all. Healing was delayed, and a community almost missed out. A community almost missed out. I mean, they got to see God work. They got to see the power of God because Jesus happened to walk by in person. Friends, I want you to understand. I don't know if you've read the book, but Jesus didn't walk by in person anymore. You see, he walks by, God walks by through the form of the Holy Spirit that lives in the heart of each and every believer. You see, that is why we are called as a church to go and reach people, to love on the hurting, to tell people about Jesus, and to help bring them and connect him to Christ. A community almost missed out. This man almost missed out. It is the life mission of all of us to reach people for Jesus. On your campuses, in your jobs, at your home, even in this place. But the question is this, church: how much do we care? And are we willing to put what we say we believe into action and to figure out and find ways to reach the lost and hurting that are beyond these walls. My prayer is that you and I would leave this place surrendered to that principle here this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you've heard us talk about this Jesus, and when I started talking about the fact that there are some people that may not really be sure about where they're going to spend eternity, maybe you realize that that's you and you have questions. You don't know about if you stepped into eternity, if you would go to heaven or hell. You think maybe you'd go to heaven, but you're not sure. Some of you might absolutely know there's no way I would step into eternity and face Jesus and be able to enter into heaven. I want to tell you there is a God that loves you. There is a God that sent his son to die for you. He wants to not only to save you, but he wants an ongoing relationship with you because he cares for you that much. Maybe you're hurting. Maybe you're saved. Maybe that you're not dealing with that, but yet you're hurting. There's a God that wants to heal your wounds. He wants to be there for you. He wants to mend that broken heart. He wants to walk with you and escort you and usher you through this difficult time. Friends, you can let him do that if you want to this morning. For all of us in the room, maybe you're not lost. You know Jesus. Maybe you're not still struggling with a deep hurt right now. Praise God. Thank God for that. One day you probably will. But maybe that's just not you. I want to ask you this question. Is there anything in your heart? Is there anything in your heart that's staying in the way of FBCOB being a church of action and being a church that impacts our community? And if there is, I want to ask you this question. It comes down to this. Do you trust God? Do you really trust him? Are you willing to surrender? Are you willing to do what he has called you to do and be who he has called you to be? You're not going to be perfect. None of us will. But if we will trust God, I believe we can be a church of action, and I believe we can reach this community. I believe lives will be impacted, and I believe that God's name would be glorified. Would you pray with me? If you're here this morning and you feel like you need to respond to God, you'll have that opportunity. When the music starts, feel free to stand and respond to God however you see fit. Let me pray for us. God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your word. We thank you for these passages, Father, that illustrate for us what it means to be a people of action and how we can be a church that makes an impact instead of people of apathy who just don't care as long as it doesn't affect us. God, give us a burden. Father, I pray that we would be surrendered to you today. God, that wherever we are, everyone in this room, wherever they are in their relationship with you, Father, I pray that we would be led to surrender to you even more still this morning. Move in this place, God, would you speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys stand.
Stand. Let's respond to the Lord this morning.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender.